Your policies, your laws. Let's debate on Night Talk.
8 minutes after 10 o'clock, you're listening to Night Talk. My name is Oliver Dixon. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Mpumelelo Zikalala, who is a legal analyst, joins us for this conversation. The African Congress for Transformation, the Labour Party, and the African Alliance of Social Democrats took the IEC to court on appeal following the Electoral Court judgment. They are saying that they had been unfairly excluded from the ballot. All three parties have different circumstances around their the facts of their case, but the Constitutional Court heard them collectively. Mpumelelo, before we get into the merits of the legal arguments, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us, actually. Before we get into the merits of the arguments, let's perhaps start here. It is an unusual case for the Constitutional Court to decide because there are so many factual disputes. And not necessarily factual disputes tied to the actualization of a right or a constitutional matter, just factual disputes in and of themselves to establish what the matters are even about. The court is going to be at pains to be able to decide to what extent does it hold itself to its own jurisprudence on not hearing matters or deciding on matters where there are disputes of fact. How did that play out in court today?
Good evening to you and also to your listeners. I think there were quite strong arguments to say, well, with all the internal rules that you have, there are no ways or there was no way in which you could come and present the facts as they are. But we've tried as much as possible to be try and accurate factually to show whatever discrepancies or the complaints that you have. And the complaints would lead to one conclusion. If you do not allow me to participate in these elections in the manner in which I want to participate in, my right as per section 19 of the Constitution are going to be infringed, meaning that the elections are not going to be free and fair, going against the whole provision in the spirit of why we need to have the democratic elections in the first place. So the court is then seized with the option of saying, how do I then allow these individuals to complain in front of me, be able to raise their concerns and whatever things that they would like to bring to the attention to the of the court, still complying or while still complying with the rules that have been determined by the court. I think maybe after this, the court may even change its rules and say, well, maybe we're going to start a situation where we're allowing witnesses and create a witness box and be able to hear what the evidence is going to be.
It seems like they might have to do that in this case, right? Because there was one of the factual disputes was about just how the website and the online portal works. The parties had a different conceptualization of how it works. The IEC had a different conceptualization of how it works. The party said, well, the system would kick us out randomly at random times. The IEC said, well, that's not kind of true. You just wasted time. And so it seems like the court might have to rely on expert witness in this particular expert testimony or witness in this case about factually, did the system glitch significantly enough in a way that it can prejudice the parties? I don't foresee a situation where the IEC, where the court can make a decision without any reliance on that.
Well, it would also depend on the type of reports which is issued by the owners of the website or of the system. So if you're able to come back with a detailed analysis of saying that from this particular amount of time, from 8 p.m. up until 9 p.m., there's the sort of problems that we're facing. These are the troubleshoot issues that we're facing. These are delays that we're facing. And this is the report, and it is undisputed. And the undisputing can happen in two ways. Let me take the report that I've created as a systems operator, take it to your experts who are going to sit down and analyze. They must tell me where the discrepancies are and where they agree with me. And then let's take that report, which is a joint submission or a joint note, and send it to court so that the court can then be able to analyze. But it may be a bit too late for that. Remember, if you go to court on an urgent basis or you on a normal basis, you are what you call a dominus litis. So the manner in which your matter is going to be handled with is going to be determined or informed mainly by how you are bringing that particular application. So if you are going to cry or you are going to complain about the system, then state or bring in witnesses or evidence or experts which are going to speak about the system itself and make it easy for the court to find in your favor by finding independent experts who are going to be witnesses, detailing that this system was not working adequately. From the face of it, this is what the challenges were. And with those challenges, it wouldn't have allowed you to participate fully in the registration process. If you don't have that, you can't then expect the court to fight your fight or to fight on your behalf. That's the information that you need to provide on your own.
So maybe let's get into it. What were the disputes of facts? Each political party had a different, unique set of facts. In the instance of the African Congress for Transformation, for instance, they kept getting kicked out of the system, they claim. And every time the system would kick them out, they would have to start from scratch. And the system didn't allow them, they say, to enter bulk entry of signatures. And at some point, they were deterred by load shedding because now there was load shedding and they couldn't work, despite the fact that they had, my apologies, that they had a single license that they had paid for, but four operators with 20 assistants working around the clock, starting more than a week before the deadline. And then a different party, the Labour Party, they say, in fact, in our case, we had completed everything. We were just unable to click the submit button. And now they say that we can't participate in the election, despite the fact that we've uploaded all the necessary documents, for the exception of the signatures, and so on. What was the very specific disputes around this the online portal?
I think you've covered the bulk of it, but if summarized in one sentence, it would be: it is a system in which does not allow her to participate in a normal manner. It is in certain instances with circumstances beyond our control, for example, load shedding. But in all those complaints that have been raised, there's only one point which is remaining. If the number of other parties are able to participate in this website, register in this manner, then what's the difference between you and those particular parties? So explain to the court and say, these are the unique circumstances which are applicable to us, not within our control. So you cannot then say load shedding is within the control of the IEC, because IEC is going to say, you knew what the load shedding terms are going to be. You knew that there's a particular point in time in which you need to submit. Even then, once you submit once or twice and you're having trouble, the reasonable person or reasonable political party will then say, let me write to the IEC on the first day while there are three or four other days outstanding and say to them, I've been trying to use your portal for a number of days or for a couple of times, it's kicking me out. Can you provide a solution, or can you put me through to some help desk that can be able to assist me in doing that? Take that and those series of complaints, compile it as part of your affidavit to then say, these are the steps that you were taking to make sure that you're able to comply. And even after following those steps, we were not given the joy of being able to apply. So if you're not going to come with the evidence which is going to show that the non-compliance is not due to anything which is caused by you, then the chances of success are going to be very minimal.
But the Ace Magashule Party Act, they said that's exactly what they did. They called the IEC and said, hey, we're having trouble with your system. And they say the extent of the response they got from the IEC was log on and log off again, log off and log on again. And the implication of that is as soon as you log off, you lose everything that you've submitted up until that point. And when you log back on, you have to start from scratch. And the difficulty is that we're talking about hundreds of thousands of signatures and hundreds of candidates, 500 candidates, in fact, that they had to submit. And they say in that way they were disadvantaged.
I think on that one, it could be acknowledged if that indeed is true. And then you go back and say, let's look at the diagnosis report, which is going to come in at that particular point in time, that even comes from the IEC that says, is there a system or any gremlins within the system which are preventing members from participating? It may be a bit difficult if the IEC is going to come back and say, well, Mr. Makhashul, you were complaining it, but there are other counterparts that were doing things correctly, or that were doing things in line with what we're asking them, and there were no gremlins on their part. Is there any other factor other than us that may have affected that? You spoke about bandwidth earlier. You spoke about access, the type of data, even the area in which we're in. If there's anything which is within the control of the political party, it does not touch on the IEC, then the IEC cannot be blamed for the inefficiencies or the mere fact that the parties were not successful in doing their registrations.
Yeah, give us a call if you'd like to participate in this conversation. 086-000-2032. 086-000-2032. You can also send us a WhatsApp voice note on 0614-104-107. 0614-104-107. 107. So we've spoken about whether or not the court can decide on effect of on a point of a dispute of fact, which the court now has to contend with, and what some of the disputes of facts were. But what were the disputes of legal interpretation with regards to the very specific statutes that are applicable here? Mpumelelo?
I'm still audible.
Oh, there we go. Yes, now I can hear you. Go for it.
Okay. I think what stood out to me was the importance and the literal interpretation or implementation of the of Section 19, which is our political rights. And then you come back and say, linked to that, if you're going to create systems as the IEC, which prevent me from participating in those, then what can I do? And then the second one was the issue of saying that in the type of relief in which I'm coming from, that's more on a maybe legal technical basis. You come to court on an urgent basis. You are then seeking relief, which is going to be very costly, as you've stated earlier in your opening statements. What is it that can be done in order to accommodate certain individuals? Is it maybe a process of or a little bit too late? You came to court too late. The instances and the time which we have left after or before now in the elections are a bit small. That's what the court is going to have to deal with. And especially, remember, you are now at the apex court, and they need to make sure that they chart the way and create a correct legal precedent in the interpretations of, for example, Section 19, in the interpretation of what it means to come to court on an urgent basis, the alternative remedies, and what is the appropriate order that you should expect from a court of law.
Yeah. Give us a call, 086-000-2032, 086-000-2032. We're going to take a break. On the other side of that, we talk about the potential formulations of remedy that the court can look at. It is 20 minutes after 10. We continue on the other side of that.
Night Talk with Oliver Dixon.
22 minutes after 10 p.m., you're listening to Night Talk. My name is Oliver Dixon. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it. I'm in conversation with Mpumelelo Zikalala. We're talking about the Constitutional Court hearings where three political parties, the African Congress for Transformation, the Labour Party, and African Alliance of Social Democrats, took the IEC to the Constitutional Court on appeal for being excluded from the elections. At least one party had been excluded from certain ballots and do appear on some ballots in some provinces. Mpumelelo, before we went to the break there, I said we would be talking about remedy. Before we go there, the underlying principle here that the Constitutional Court had repeatedly stated is that election mustn't just be free and fair. It must also be seen to be free and fair. Tell us why that caveat of being seen to be free and fair is such an important one.
I think it creates more credibility if you're able to visualize that indeed I won fair and square, was beaten fair and square, then it increases the acceptability of the results which are going to be there. If you are defeated and you don't know how the defeat or the technicalities or modalities of defeat took place, then I think it's going to be very difficult for people to accept that I was voting for party A, but I was not there. And if you look at the practices which have been utilized by our electoral system, they're exactly that. We have election observers, both in the national and international one. We have party agents, which are part and parcel. So in every voting station, you would have a party agent who's going to be there when the counting takes place. They encourage you to take down their numbers and feed it back to their nerve centers. And by the time...
I want us to draw the link between then the principle and how it practically plays out as you describe it now versus and the direct link to how the court will consider remedy. But before we do that, let's take this short break.
United Africans Transformation is an independent political party that stands for the restoration of the spirit of Ubuntu, which calls on all Africans to unite. Let us restore African culture to its origins and take back what belongs to Africa for economic freedom and the betterment of the lives of Africans. Let's get it right. Vote UAT in the upcoming elections.
This political election broadcast was brought to you in terms of the ICASA regulation governing the election period. The views expressed in this political election broadcast are those of the political party and not of the SABC.
Your policies, your laws. Let's debate on Night Talk.
And you are back listening to Night Talk. My name is Oliver Dixon. Thank you so much for listening. Mpumlelo Zikalala, legal analyst, is with me in conversation. You're unpacking the Constitutional Court hearings on three political parties appealing an electoral court judgment excluding them from the ballot. Mpumlelo, to then test the principle in remedy, the Constitutional Court, if it does find that there's merit to the arguments of the political parties, that either all of them or some of them, and in some instances, have been treated and dealt with unfairly by the IEC in the submission of the necessary documents, no doubt they would have to be included onto the ballot or the ballots that they have been excluded from. But in doing so, the decision has to be very, very specific, because it's a delicate process, given that we're less than 21 days or less, just about 21 days away from the polls, giving these parties no opportunity to truly be able to campaign where they are now included on the ballot. To what extent then does the court have room to ask the IEC to postpone the elections?
Well, I would say the general rule is that yes, you can say to the IEC, please postpone the elections or extend it, maybe 2 or 3 days. However, it will go into the territory under very exceptional or super exceptional circumstances. I don't even think they would want to go there. But the one thing that need to go back and do is to say, let's look at the complaints in which you have. If you say your name was not included in a particular ballot, however, is your name, for example, in a national ballot? If the answer is yes, that would have mean you'd have been campaigning nonetheless, because you're not going to say, because my name does not appear in the KZN provincial ballot, I'm not going to campaign in KZN. Meanwhile, on a national ballot, you are going to appear. So we must then go back and say, what are the practicalities of your name not appearing at all? If we are going to find a political party that says, we are not even in one single ballot that is there, we couldn't even print our posters, we do not even participate in that name signing process that was there or provide our undertakings, then maybe the court must find innovative ways of being able to accommodate them. But in all other instances, a political party cannot hide the fact that we're not able to, their name did not appear, when in all instances they do appear in the national ballot and they ought to have been campaigning nonetheless.
Yeah. Let's have a listen at this WhatsApp voice note reaction to this conversation.
Well, Ace Magashule, when he was Secretary General of the ANC, remember ANC almost missed some of the things. That is modus operandi. He's not an administrator, man. He's just a campaigner and an organizer in the street talking. Well, I suspect that Ace is not intending to stand for election because he knows. He's not been campaigning. Where have you heard about him and his posters and everywhere? I don't think he's really ready to campaign and stand in the ballot, because he won't get much. I think his intention is to take his support and take it to MK. So it's just a lame excuse. At the end, he's going to join MK.
Yep.
Gore.
Thank you so much for that, Gore. I really appreciate it. Give us a call, 086-000-2032. We're also taking your WhatsApp voice notes on 0614-104-107. Litlabile, out in Limpopo. Good evening.
Good evening, Oliver. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Go right for it.
Yes. You see, in this the Concord matter in relation to what the parties have raised, yes, we admit that there could have been some network glitches here and there, but the parties that went to Concord, to frankly speaking, they don't have a case or they like to stand on. Firstly, let me just say they are putting things on assumption, because I personally I worked on that system. I have registered a party that is going to contest elections in Limpopo. One of the things that the parties should have known is that the thing of capturing supporters on the portal of the IEC was long before they even proclaimed the timetable for these elections. You remember there was a court case that the independent parties have taken the IEC to court, and it came out and said independent parties have to capture approximately 1,000 supporters before they can contest elections. That thing was even before the IEC declared the date of the election, the president declared the date of the election. So what happened with the IEC portal is that it gave you two options. One, it was on a spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet, where you could load your the identity numbers of your supporters. And one Excel spreadsheet takes about thousands of that, a thousand to be specific. And there was this other online option that you will go physically capture the ID numbers of your supporters on the system. And even if you had load shading on it, the system won't take you out and go back to the starting point. Let's say you were at number 100, then it takes you back to number 1. No, that's not the case. We had those instances where you find that network takes out of the system, and even the system allows you for about 20 minutes to be on the system. After 20 minutes, it kicks you out, but it doesn't take your information away. And
just to pause you there, Litlhabile, because while there are three parties in court on this matter, we know of at least 12 political parties that complained about the same thing, such as a system lag, where the system just freezes for no reason at all, presumably during times of high traffic, because one of the arguments that was being made was that the system was not fit for purpose. It may not happen all the time, but it happens sometimes, and perhaps even at a crucial time, and that's where the system would kick people out. But that notwithstanding, the reason why only three parties went is because some of the other parties that complained were parties that are classified as represented parties, where these three parties are very specifically unrepresented parties. That is to say that they haven't competed in an election before, and they don't have representation in any legislature anywhere in the country. And so therefore, their process was slightly lengthier than a party that had already been on a ballot before, for instance.
The thing is, this concept of IEC of saying they were unrepresented and represented parties, it only applies to parties that are in the provincial legislature and in the National Assembly. Those who are represented at municipal level, municipal council, they were classified as unrepresented as well. So they had to go to that. They had to go to that length of the process of capturing the supporters on the system. We went that same process as well. Although we are represented in a municipal council, that is why I'm saying.
But the point is, if you are a represented party, the process is slightly easier for you than if you are an unrepresented party. One of the represented parties that complained about system glitches but were able to overcome it because of that is the AIC, for instance.
Firstly, as a party, when you register, you have to apply or make an application for an online party administrator, and it's there on the rules of the IEC. You have to know that. You have to apply for that, then they'll give you a code which you will use on the online platform. Like, let's say you have a password, a username and a password, and that username and password, it can be shared by about 10 people or 20 people in single room, using it and capturing the supporters. And if you have about 10 people in the same room using that online platform, using the very same password and the username, you are going to have a pool of people capturing the IDs of the supporters on the IEC platform.
Yeah, Litlhabile, I'm going to have to leave it there. Thanks a lot for your call, man. Appreciate it. Litlhabile calling us there from Limpopo. Mpumlelo, perhaps to wrap it up here with you in the last minute, to what extent was that distinction between represented and unrepresented parties materially important?
It was, because if there are going to be extra steps which need to be taken by other parties and there are glitches in that one, that means that the problems in which I'm facing as a first-time registration party are going to be a lot more. But then an investigation needs to be done, which is going to be crucial. Is the mistake or is the difficulties which are being faced due to or caused by the IEC? The IEC will come back and say, as the IEC, I cannot assume the risk for the factual or elements which are not within or that are beyond my control. So depending on the network that you are using, the type of computer that you are using, the number of people that you are registering, the time of day in which that registration is taking place, and the amount of traffic which is going to be there, I cannot assume and make sure that everything is going to go according to plan. What I have done as the IEC is that I've created a platform. It is working for other political parties that they were able to register. And the mere fact that there are factors within your control which are causing you not to register cannot be attributed to me. I think that's what the court is going to have to look at. In instances in which the court does find that there is fault, then how do you provide those remedies which are going to ensure that on the 29th of May, the elections are able to continue. And then we look back and say, let me repair or damage whatever damages that you have suffered to the extent in which you've suffered them in. So you cannot say to me, even though you are registered for national elections, there was no campaigning which was taking place because of these glitches, because you would have had to campaign anyways.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it. That is legal analyst Mpumelelo Zikalala. What are your thoughts on that? Give us a call, 086-000-2032. Let's take a break. On the other side of this, we speak to independent candidate Sesing Ramotswabodi.